TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, welcome in. Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham and Dane Moore. And Dane, trade season is officially upon us. It has been for a little while, but the Wolves are finally active now. They made a trade today. Jeff Teague and Travion Graham have been dealt to the Atlanta Hawks, and Allen Crabb coming to town. Just your immediate reaction on this deal, and then we can get into a bunch of, there are a bunch of different directions we can go, but give me your immediate reaction.
My immediate thought, and I thought about Allen Crabb for Jeff Teague before, I don't know, maybe you and I have even talked about it, is just the idea of having a player who has that type of gravity on the perimeter where teams, I know he's only shooting 32% from three this year, but teams scramble to guard Allen Crabb. And I think that type of player fits on this current Minnesota Timberwolves roster way better than Jeff Teague did, who just really delayed so much of what the Wolves were doing.
And I think that Crabb's skill set is one that kind of does fit the system. Now, he hasn't necessarily had the best year. Listen, for his contract, he's overpaid, and I think that he's had to deal with that burden for a while, and that's a tough thing to do. But I think that the fact that he's going to, even though he's only shooting, 32% from three this year, right? He's going to come in and immediately be the second best perimeter player outside shooting guy on this team, behind Robert Covington.
Yeah, well, I mean, Robert Covington plays power forward. So you could say that Allen Crabb is
true.
Far and away the best shooter.
He's certainly the best backcourt shooter.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and so I think that that's interesting. I think if we look at the other side of it, this really signals that how much of a tumble Jeff Teague's value took.
Yeah.
I think it would have been very complicated to trade him in the offseason, given that he was still recovering from that foot surgery. But to only get Allen Crabb, who is... I mean, I think he's an interesting shooter, but that, like we said, this is a $19 million player who will probably, sign for close to the minimum next year. He's nothing special in an asset sense. But it's just, I think it's what Rosa's and company inherited here was Teague, who was a player who fits in some systems and doesn't fit in others. He's also not at all in Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins' age range. He was the oldest player on the team.
Yeah.
Now, Gorgui Dieng, I believe, is the only player who's 30.
Yes, correct. Those were the only two entering the season that were 30 years or older.
So yeah. I think big picture, that's what they want to do. They want to have players who align with Kat and Wiggins schematically, age-wise, and then like Gorgui, who's older, but he fits from a chemistry standpoint.
Yes.
He's played with Andrew his whole career, played with Carl his whole career.
Well, he's been here his whole career, too. Yeah. And I think that it's not the overarching thing. Like, at the end of the day, who cares where you've been? Mm-hmm. But I think it does matter a little bit that he's played with Andrew, as you said, his entire career. Every day Carl Anthony Towns is spent in the NBA, Gorgui Dieng's been a teammate.
Sure.
Those things might not matter a whole ton on the outside, but they matter at least a little bit on the inside.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I think probably people are listening and... I mean, what's going to happen is more moves are going to come. They only have one traditional point guard on the roster now in Shabazz Napier. So there's a whole bunch of, if we do in fact know that more moves are coming, that means more players are getting traded away. That could be Gorgui Dieng. Mm-hmm. That could be a whole bunch of different players based on what they're going to need to make the salaries work, to make the assets work in some sort of deal. So I would say to Timberwolves fans, wait to assess the entire giving trade deadline grades. Wait until February 6th when it all comes together, because there's going to be a string of moves here that are tied together. Because right now, this kind of hurts the team in a way because they only have one point guard. So there's definitely more to come.
And I also think So getting rid of Travion Graham, who is a fine defender, could not figure out how to shoot from the outside, which I don't think was was an unexpected thing. I think that Travion Graham kind of played as who Travion Graham is. But I think that the fact that this opens up a roster spot might be the thing that interests me most about this deal, Dane.
I think there's that, and that there's also the element of the Wolves sent out $20.6 million and got back $18.5 million. So it creates a little bit more space under the tax, which normally isn't that important in the middle of the season. But if you're going to have a lot of deals coming, it's good to be able to be the team who takes back, you know, $30 million in a deal and only sends out, you know, $26 million, you know, to have a little bit of wiggle room there. So I think that's important. But yes, to the roster spot point, I mean, as anybody who's been watching has noticed, Keelan Martin isn't with the team, and it's because his two-way contract is going to run out soon. So they've been trying to keep him down in Iowa if he wasn't going to be playing in the games. Now there's the potential to sign him to another one of those deals that, you know, Naz Reid or Jalen Noel and those guys are on, where it's very team-friendly.
Yes.
And that could also be a
full-time NBA, where he won't be limited with how many days he can spend with the Wolves. And I think that matters more.
And he can take care of his body here. He can practice. I mean, he hasn't been practicing with the team because that uses a day. He can, I mean, it will be, if they believe Keelan Martin is an NBA player, it's good to get him on an NBA contract so you can have him in the facility living in Minnesota.
To be on a seat on a commercial airliner three times a week.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I think the assumption is that's what's going to happen, is Keelan Martin gets that spot. But that's not a lock.
Yeah.
If there's more moves coming, this now opens up a window where the Wolves could make another trade where they take back two and only send out one, or take back three and only send out two. So the spot creates flexibility for them to sign a free agent like Keelan Martin, or to go and, you know, take back more players in a trade.
And I think that even whether it's Keelan Martin or more players in another trade, it's still interesting because it gives them options that just did not exist 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally. Yeah. And that's what they need. That's what this front office craves, is flexibility and the ability to work, you know, to put together a roster that, you know, was unbalanced in the way it was put together. And then for Ryan Saunders, this is a good fit for him to have Allen Crabbe, a shooter, be able to be coming off your bench. I mean, we were talking about before we turned the mics on or after, but I mean, he's now the best shooter on this team.
Yeah, in terms of guards, because you've got, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns is the best shooter on this team. That's could be a 50-40-90 guy at some point in his career, but he's 6'11", not a perimeter player.
There's Robert just a Covington, different impact, right?
Yes.
Of the way things are set up for that shooter to be, you know, spotted up at the above the break position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much of, even when the Wolves were rolling at the beginning of the year, when Wiggins was rolling at the beginning of the year, and teams started throwing a second defender at him at the nail, he had to choose, all right, am I kicking to the right? Am I kicking to the left? And he looks to his right. He's got Trevion Graham spotted up. He's looking to his left. He's got Josh Okogie.
Those are two guys that are both shooting below 25% from that spot on the floor.
Exactly.
I mean, at least for Okogie, most of his three-point makes have come in the corners. He's shooting below 25% on the wing, and that's just not a good thing.
I think it's a safe assumption to say that the expected value of an open catch and shoot above the break three for Allen Crabbe is 40%.
Yes.
And that's a huge difference. That's just that meaningfully will change the dynamic of the way that teams have to guard the Wolves. And I'm not talking about, oh, this is like going to create a bunch of wins and they're going to like go make the playoffs because of it, but it allows you to run the system that you want to be running, to feel what this is going to look like in the future. I mean, someday, the next good, if there is a good Timberwolves team, it has a shooter like Allen Crabbe flanking Andrew Wiggins.
Yes.
And to be able to
other than Andrew Wiggins.
We got 42 games left in the season. To be able to put shooters out there to go Crabbe and Keelan Martin on the wings next to him, like, that makes a big difference.
It certainly does, and this is the move that...
He's bad at defense. We should
I was going
that.
To get
okay,
to that.
Good.
We will get to that. I was actually looking up his real plus minus number as I was talking there. But this is the move that, because for so long they've, from the beginning of the season, they talked about how it was going to be system over personnel, right? Mm-hmm. How it didn't matter that the pieces that didn't necessarily fit this system didn't fit, that they were still going to run that system that they wanted to run. Yeah. But I think that this move, they finally have someone, while, again, as you just said, the defense is not great. But offensively, he does fit that system with that skill set. And I think that that's something that's going to just make them kind of let them breathe a little bit offensively.
Totally. I think that's the exact way to look at it, is just to say, all right, we can the square peg just being jammed into the round hole gets a little bit, you know, more sandpapered out, where it fits a little bit better, you know, and just the presence of somebody who can stand still and knock down an open jump shot does that.
Yeah, and that, I think that'll be a big help. I'm not, again, like you, I'm not saying this is going to lead to a ton of wins. They're not suddenly a playoff team because they got rid of Jeff Teague and Travion Graham and added Allen Crabb. That's not what they become. But offensively, they might become a little bit more palatable.
Yeah, and I mean, let's also, I know people are very frustrated with Jeff Teague, and a lot of that is warranted, but even just last night, I mean, he was the best point guard.
He had a very good night last night, yeah.
Like, he is a player who can be positively impactful. And now, if you kind of go down the list, maybe, I mean, I would assume Jordan McLaughlin is with this team kind of in that role until they make another corresponding move. I mean, you can be low on Jeff Teague, but Jeff Teague is a substantially better player than Jordan McLaughlin is.
Yes.
So that makes a difference.
No question about that.
And Travion Graham, we highlighted his offensive warts. He is a good wing defender, and that is an important part of this team's defensive scheme, is stopping the point of attack. Travion Graham is good at that. He's a guy who 50-50 balls. I mean, how many of those has he gotten this year? Like,
I think that he's done, and I was talking to someone earlier about this, about Travion, that, like, he can't shoot, but he does a lot of things, I think, that help out a winning team.
I agree.
If you don't need a lot of shooting from that position, if you need strong defense and a guy that makes winning plays, Travion Graham is a good fit.
The Wolves have been taking calls on Travion Graham all year. There's been interest around the league in Graham, and teams want that. Teams want a guy like that.
I mean,
not
why.
As a starter like he was with the Wolves, but as a guy you can throw in off the bench. I mean, Graham was so much better in an off-the-bench role for the Wolves because it was, you know, situational in nature. The problem was when he was playing a large volume of minutes along another non-shooter like Culver or Okogie, that was just so killer to the offense that the numbers were terrible and it met the eye test.
Yeah, but in the right role, he's a successful NBA player.
Yep.
And that's something that it can help the Hawks. And he's also an expiring. He'll be somewhere else next year, if I had to bet.
I bet you he's somewhere else before February 6th.
Could be, but you can't combine his contracts with someone else's. You'd have to trade him.
No, they can because it was traded and they have cap space.
Oh, no, yeah, you're
they
right.
Can be. That's an important point on Crabb, though.
The Wolves can't do that. Yeah. They cannot combine him with, say, Robert Covington to get to a $30 million deal.
Right. That's a really good point because I think that's what, and, you know, the D'Angelo Russell rumors are only going to continue to
intensify.
There you go. But that might be what people are thinking is, okay, Allen Crabb can be the salary fodder in that deal. And in similar ways to we've talked about, you know, Covington or Gorgui Dieng being that, Crabb cannot be that because his salary cannot be aggregated.
That is the one thing you lose by trading Jeff Teague is that $18.6 million that I believe Crabb is making is when it's traded out, you can't trade it with anybody else. It has to be just that.
That's a good, I hadn't really thought about it as you kill that option with Teague.
I don't know that Teague would have been valuable in that option. I don't know that there's a move out there. And listen, D'Angelo Russell's going to be the hot name until he's not on the Warriors anymore. Like, that's just how it's going to work, right?
Maybe even then.
Maybe if someone else trades for him. Wolves still have interest. That could be a thing.
That's true.
But I don't know what move that you would have needed Jeff Teague's money to combine with someone else's money to make this year that would have been realistic before February 6th.
You know, if we're digging into smaller things like that, I think an important element to acknowledge salary-wise with Crabb is that the Wolves will have his bird rights.
Yes.
Which would allow, I mean, the Wolves, they have $101 million committed to seven players next season. And that's going to make them likely an over-the-cap team.
Yeah.
So there's not, in other words, they're not going to be creating cap space to bring in someone unless they make a lot of other moves. So if they are an over-the-cap team, then your path to adding players becomes the mid-level exception, which they could spend about $10 million on a player. And then it's bringing back players you have bird rights on, who are incumbent players on the roster.
Yeah.
That was never going to be Jeff Teague.
No.
So
no.
They had his bird rights, but that didn't matter because he was gone. You had this with Crabbe. So if you find an interesting eighth, ninth man role for Crabbe on this team, you could bring him back for a couple million next year.
And there's no reason why that can't be the case. There's no reason why Allen Crabbe cannot play himself into a future fit with this team. I think that this trade, it doesn't make them much better now. I think it will help to open up things, as we've already said.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't...
It'll paint a better picture.
Yes, it'll paint a better picture. The picture's still not going to be super pretty, but it's going to be a little bit better than it was. But it also... It is essentially... Allen Crabbe is now on a tryout with the Wolves from... I would bet he doesn't play tomorrow. We'll say from Saturday, January 18th until April 17th or whatever day that the season ends for them. He's on a tryout period then. And he can play himself into more money here or somewhere else.
Just like Shabazz Napier too. He played in Brooklyn under Pablo Prigioni, and the Wolves are mirroring the Nets offensive system. And he played for David Vanterpool in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wolves are mirroring the defensive system.
I mean, there have been a lot of Portland connections with this team.
I don't think that's random.
Yeah.
So it's, again, he might not be a good defensive player, but he's familiar, in theory, familiar with David Vanterpool and what Vanterpool liked to do in Portland.
Yeah, and those things matter because, mm-hmm. again, he's not a great defender, but giving him a little advantage like that certainly could help.
Yes, definitely.
And also, everyone in Atlanta is painted as a bad defender right now because that team is just so atrocious at that end. I don't know how, and I'm not trying to paint him as a good defender because he's not.
He's just like a frail guy.
Yeah,
like
I don't know how much of his defensive numbers are, okay, you play for the worst defensive team in the league. A lot of times you're playing next to the worst defender in the league at point guard in Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young and Cam Reddish. And I mean, just guys who don't have NBA experience, that mm-hmm. doesn't shine a kind light on you for sure.
I'm curious how much that impacts that real plus minus number, which those metrics mm-hmm. defensively.
Yeah, and you know, I'm more relying on reputation than I'm like going off of actually having watched a ton of Allen Crabbe and being like, oh, he's bad at X, Y, and Z on defense. He's just not physical. He doesn't have a physical frame, and it's just never seemed to be a priority into his game, if you know what I mean. Like I remember though, on draft night, kind of being surprised by the Wolves getting Jared Culver and, you know, trying to figure out like, all right, what is Jared Culver like? And a lot of times what I'll do there is look at frames of players, so like height and wingspan and weight. And it was really hard to find players that were the same size and weight. Him. And I remember Allen Crabbe was one that I found when I was like digging through like the combine measurements and stuff like that.
So interesting.
He's a little bit longer. I think he has a 6'11 wingspan, but it's like that 6'6, 6'7 skinny guy.
Except Allen Crabbe can shoot.
Yeah.
That is the fundamental difference. And I do want to get to Jared Culver a little bit later. I know we've talked about him on plenty of previous episodes, but he's had a really good probably 3-week stretch now. But I want to get to the negative thing first, because while Jared Culver's had a really good 3-week stretch, number 22 has been really bad lately. Like, really bad lately. It feels
Wiggins?
To me like he is just... And not necessarily even defensively. I think he's actually been okay at that end. Mm-hmm. But offensively, he's floating through games again.
Yeah, that's hard to refute. I don't, like, totally buy into the revision of him, like... I don't buy in that this, like, negates what he did earlier in the season. Which I don't think you're saying either.
No, that still counts. Like, it still happened. It's in my memory. I was at those games. Yeah. We were both there talking about it.
Yes, and I guess I hold more belief in that than I do in the notion that it's fallen apart since he's, you know, come back lately. He is being used in a different fashion. I mean, Shabazz has been dominating the ball a lot more, I think, intentionally. And it hasn't come together, but I do think what people are saying is he just floating again. Kind of, but this has also still been his most active season.
Yeah.
As an offensive and defensive player for sure. But I mean, he's cutting more than he ever has before. He's spotting up less than he ever has before. And he's running pick and rolls almost twice as much as he ever has before. I mean, to me, that in the aggregate is a much more active player who has now had a week and a half or whatever since he came back of inactive play. It's on the coaching staff to activate him. Do they need to get him back more on the ball? Probably.
Do you think that this Jeff Teague move will do that?
I think, yeah, Jeff Teague was killer for Andrew Wiggins, playing with Andrew Wiggins this season. The thing is, though, I don't know if that totally connects to of late, because their minutes had been staggered so much that Wiggins was playing more with Napier, and so what? How they were running that was just, I don't know. It's a good thing for Wiggins that Teague is gone.
Yes,
on like the court. But I don't think that just solves what's been happening of late, if that makes sense.
No, it certainly does make sense, because I think it's a combination of things that lead to it happening of late. I don't think Andrew's been aggressive enough, and I don't think that that's an unpopular sentiment. He needs to kind of go get it, go take it at times, and he doesn't do that. And that's, I think, the most concerning thing about this is you don't see him want to take over when it's clear that he has the ability to do it. We've all seen it. It's just you don't see, you know, I don't want to say an interest, because I don't think that that's fair or correct. You just don't see him go out and actually do it enough.
I think to play the cynical side a little bit, which I do believe some, is that I think Andrew came out really inspired this year to like do what he said to KG, which he was like, I'm gunning for next year to make an all-star team. And I'm going to elevate my individual play next year, when he was interviewed by him. And that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing at a level close to that. And then everything really went sideways from once his grandma passed away to when he got sick to when he got sick again. The team started losing. And I think a lot of that goal of Andrew's fizzled.
Yeah.
And then now he's been back, and it's... What's the goal now? And that should be obvious. Of like, you know, there's still plenty of the season left.
The goal should be to get back to what you were in November.
I agree with that. I just don't. His play and how he's operating doesn't signal to me that he's applying that right now. And that just might be an Andrew thing. But also I think it's a coaching staff thing too, because you do need to activate him. So it's totally worth monitoring going forward, and it's worth monitoring how he plays next to Allen Crabbe, and it's worth monitoring how he plays next to whoever the next point guard they bring in is, or the other people. I mean, because more moves are coming, and in theory, those moves are going to be made to help Andrew.
Yeah, and to help Carl, and it feels, and I know I just said this about Allen Crabbe in terms of this being a 3 or 4 month tryout, it feels like that with Andrew a little bit too. Not necessarily that it's a tryout, because he's on a long-term deal and he's not going anywhere. He's likely not going anywhere, but the better you can have him from now until the end of the season, the better off you feel about your future, or the more likely you are to move him if it comes down to that.
I just do think that a lot of his individual goals he views is not coming true. And that is taking a mental toll on him.
Which I understand. I understand that happening, but I also think that...
But that's kind of a weak excuse, too.
It is.
Yeah.
I understand that being an excuse, but that's exactly what it is an excuse.
Mm-hmm. And it's when I'm...
This is you saying it. It's not Andrew.
Yeah, that's just what I'm seeing. You know, and we're there. And when we see I've written glowingly about the resurgence of Andrew this year, and it has not just been about X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're privy to a whole bunch of interactions that are not on television.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, and conversations with his teammates, that informed me writing glowingly and informed my opinion on Andrew Wiggins just as much as him being a more active basketball player on the floor. And what I'm now seeing is him reverting away from that. He didn't speak in the locker room after the game last night and after the game on Monday, he was very short and terse.
Yeah.
And
good word.
Thank you. I don't know. But that, again, that makes some sense too. He's not playing well, so you're going to be frustrated. But if I acknowledge that to be a plus for him months ago, I have to acknowledge it to be a minus now.
It is a minus now. I don't think that there's another way to look at it. I mean, if you look at his last three games, I believe he had 11 points against Houston on Saturday. He had 10 points against Oklahoma City on Monday. He had 10 points yesterday against the Pacers. He played 6 minutes and 9 seconds in the second quarter, scored 9 points on 4-5 shooting last night against the Pacers. The rest of the game, he played 26 minutes, scored 1 point. That's just, it's unacceptable because you show that you can do it.
And not in a blowout or something like that.
No,
if that was
a
second half against
loss.
Houston when they're getting thwapped, then like, all right.
Whatever.
You know? But yeah, that was a winnable game.
It was a game they needed him in the second half and he was MIA.
And instead, I mean, what ends up happening is the offense runs through Kata Bates Diop, who's, you know, leading the team in like shooting. Like, mm-hmm.
I mean, what
that's
happened last
job.
Night is Jarrett yeah. Culver was the best offensive player.
Yeah, that's...
That's what happened last night. And right now, I mean, maybe in the future you can win games that way. Right now, you're not going to win games right. that way.
He played well against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins did. So it hasn't been, like, totally non-existent since he's returned. It's 6 games, right? Since he's come back from that
yes.
4-game illness absence. That's something. Portland was also like on the 5th game of a 5-game road trip, and they're awful at defense, so that pokes a couple holes in it.
And Hassan Whiteside was sick, for that matter, who is their
rim defender.
I mean, he played, but he was very clearly not himself, but as their rim defender was not close to being
himself.
But
I like the way more in that game that they were using him, activating him.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just saying is like that can happen. That can happen if Shabazz is on the ball, and it can happen if they go get D'Angelo Russell, or they go get lead ball handler X. Andrew can fit in as a secondary ball handler. And I understand it's a debate whether or not he should be the primary ball handler, but I don't think that's ever the ultimate future for him. And in my opinion, I think it's he's the secondary lead.
So the next thing I want to get to is what's happened to him in terms of his outside shot. So since that first sickness that he missed, I think, what, 3 games with when he missed he missed Washington, Houston, Utah, he's only shooting 28% from three. Like, that's where the real dip in production has come is he was hitting threes at a 40%+ clip, and since then he's shooting 28% on 6.5 threes a game.
He's such a confidence guy with his shot. Rhythm, too. And, I mean, something I've always noticed with him is he's a shooter who's much more comfortable stepping into his shot like 1-2 rather than stand still, feet set, catch and shoot sort of guy. And I mean, that's just a rhythm. That's the behavior of somebody who shoots better in a rhythm, and he's totally been out of a rhythm. He hasn't had that, and it's felt like more of those shots is he feels I have to get up these looks because the team does need me to shoot because Kata Bates Diop is the next option. And I think he's been searching for that rhythm in the wrong places by going back to his mid-range game. And that volume has gone up a lot of late as well. So he needs to find that rhythm again, and they need to, again, put him in places that facilitate that happening.
All right, let's get something positive, because while Andrew's been bad, Jarrett Culver's actually been really good for like the last 9 games now.
I think the Crab trade is positive.
Sure. Yes. I think that's so too. But
I'm
just
giving that,
like,
I give that a thumbs up.
Yes,
like,
I would give them a favorable grade if I were grading that. I know Kevin Pelton at ESPN gave them a D, but I would give them.
He did. Why? What was the reason? Hold on.
Well, now I have to go pull it up, Dane. Thanks.
Well, I mean,
he gave the Hawks an A and he gave the Wolves a D for that trade.
Well. Yeah, that's just knowing what
I disagree.
What the dynamic
I certainly disagreed with the grade given by him. Not necessarily. I mean, the Hawks.
Another,
the Hawks needed what they got.
Shocking national development of
but
people
he,
not having watched
he,
the Wolves.
He gave the Wolves a D because it's difficult to see the Wolves' logic for making the deal. Minnesota could have aspired to get a second round draft pick or some young piece in return. Instead, they've settled for simply another.
You don't think they aspired for that? Like, of course they did.
I don't think that they could have gotten that.
They gave up. Trevion Graham was worth a second round pick.
Yes.
They had been offered that. So the value of Teague was literally minus one second round pick because they attached Trevion Graham to that deal. So I just think that is categorically false. Like, he doesn't understand how much the perception of Jeff Teague around the league has fallen.
Yeah.
And the notion that there are so few teams in the league that have $19 million in space to match up with the Wolves to make a Jeff Teague trade.
Mm-hmm.
And the only team that they could trade with in the entire league who had cap space is Atlanta. That's the only way they could send out more money than they were, you know, taking back in this sort of fashion. So it's like there were such limited options. They felt the need they had to get off of Jeff Teague, which makes a ton of sense to me and a ton of sense, I think, to every Timberwolves fan who's been watching this game. So that means you haven't been watching the Wolves.
And I think had this not happened, I think Jeff Teague would have been bought out shortly after February 6th.
100%.
I thought that there was, and I think I said this earlier this week on Monday's episode, I saw very, very limited avenues to Jeff Teague finishing this season in a Wolves uniform. I just did not see how it was going to happen.
So did the front office.
Yeah, and I think for good reason.
Yeah, D's dumb.
Anyways.
Not to be like a, I mean, maybe that makes me sound like a massive defender of this. But,
well, that's all you ever are. Yeah. You are just someone, Dane, that carries water process for the organization. I mean, you are a shill of the Wolves. That's exactly what you are.
Crapped on Andrew Wiggins for 5 minutes.
Yes, it was longer than that.
Yeah.
So to get to something positive, Jarrett Culver has scored double figures in his last 9 games. He's getting to the rim at a much higher rate. His outside shot's still not there, but he has been a positive offensively for the first time this season in this stretch. And I think that that's a really bright spot, a really strong bright spot for this team in a not so bright season.
And I would say it can get better. I mean, he hasn't shot a free throw in 4 games, and he's playing well. He has 0 free throws attempted. I mean, that is how he boosts his offense to another. That's how every player boosts their offense. That's the best shot you can. In theory, he's got to make them. Yeah. Totally. Although
he's shooting 43%.
But if you're shying away from getting to the line, that impacts the way you're attacking the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. You need to establish that behavior of getting there, and he needs to make the free throws. I also don't think it's possible that he could stay this bad free throw shooting. I have a list of these are the players who have shot under. So he's taken 73 free throws this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the list of players who have taken more than 70 free throws and have shot under 60%. Dwight Howard, 50.9. Clint Capella, 56.5. Mason Plumlee, 56.5. Steven Adams, 57%. Ben Simmons, 59.4. Those are centers. So it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible, but are you just going to never be a guy who gets to the line? I mean, you have to
at some point.
You have to do that.
I think it's such a mental thing with him.
Oh, that, totally.
That's the way it looks like to me.
It's. I mean, we've talked about this before, but before we get to talk to Ryan Saunders pregame, you and I always go and we watch Culver's warmups.
Yeah. He's one of the first guys on the court.
And we watch that every single time, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because the mental battle is happening in warmups at the free throw line. And that's just concerning, you know? That's concerning. And I don't know, this totally feels like stomping on everything, the improvements he's made. But it's a massive concern going forward for Jarrett Culver if he's not going to make free throws and if he's not even going to get to the free throw line in the first place. Like, I don't know. I'm more encouraged by what he's been doing defensively than offensively of late. I think you had in your piece that's been double digits in like 9 games in a row.
9 games straight. And 9 games.
Yeah,
he set his career high. I think he had 24.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not blown away by that. He's been given a huge bandwidth, and I don't think it's been special at all.
I don't think that it's blowing anyone away, but I think that it's positive signs. It's he's a better offensive player.
But don't you think
now.
The defense has been more of an encouraging
I think the defense is something I expected more of. Okay. Because I thought that he was
going to
be...
I think the defense has gotten better, progressively better,
yes,
over the course of the
I
year.
I agree, but I expected him to be a really good defender. Okay. After watching him shoot, it's hard to see him being a positive offensive player, and he's turned himself into that lately. That's what I'm trying to get across. Yes, of course, he is good defensively, especially for a rookie right now. Ever since the game against the Clippers where Kawhi just kind of said, you don't belong in this league with his play, essentially, he's been really good at that end.
Yeah, he's been good physically. I just don't think he's been a meaningfully positive offensive player of late. I don't think anybody has outside of Robert Covington, maybe.
I think the way that he's gotten to the rim has been a good thing. And yeah, I know that he hasn't gotten to the free throw line as a result of that, but the amount of shots he's taking per game inside 5 feet in the last 9 games has almost doubled what it was for the first 30.
Yeah, and that's good because he never makes shots outside of there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I'm wary of perpetuating a positive narrative around him because I'm largely really discouraged from what I've seen offensively from him this year.
And there's plenty of reason to be discouraged.
It's like a lot like Josh Okogie to me. Yeah. Like, I think Josh Okogie is going to be a really good defensive player in this league for a long time. And I think Jarrett Culver is going to be a really good defensive player in this league. But what is your ceiling if you don't have a shot in today's NBA? And that's my concern with Josh. And it's honestly more concerning with Josh because he hasn't shown the ability to get to the rim.
Yeah.
So I mean, credit to Jarrett for doing that. But there is like a cement ceiling if you're not going to make jump shots and not going to make free throws.
Yeah. That's an absolute truth. There's no question about that. And then the last thing I want to get to today is Karl-Anthony Towns still has not played. Now it's an illness that he's dealing with, aside from the previous knee troubles, which I don't know how much of a trouble those are. I think he probably would have played this week had he not gotten sick. We'll see if he plays tomorrow. I would bet he plays, if not tomorrow, which he did travel on the trip, I would bet he plays tomorrow or Saturday at home.
He flew to Indiana?
The Timberwolves... social media showed a picture of him getting on the plane. So unless he
talking about that last night.
Unless he did that for show and then said, I'm just going to get off and drive home now. He is with the team.
Well, apparently he flew to Houston with the team, but then wasn't on the bench or wasn't really around. So I don't know. I mean, this cat stuff is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. Like his knee got better. And then he got sick, and people don't believe us when we say that. And I want it to be done. I want that, like, to be able to move on and just get him playing again so we can, again, move on. But it has been exhausting and has been extremely trying for the coaching staff and for the roster to be like, what have we even done the last month? Like, what? Your offense is completely predicated upon a 7-foot center dictating how the defense defends you at the top of the key.
Yep.
And so largely, so much of what they've done offensively has just been pointless.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been atrocious at that end.
It's felt like preseason.
That's a good way to put it.
You know,
it's been
like,
awful.
I mean, which isn't
it's
meaningless, but like, yeah, you see like skill sets of players, like Culver, like we mentioned, like you see skill sets of players, but you're like, all right, what? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the analogy is. Like, how meaningful is it to be good at something when your role is going to be so different when Kat's back? So they need him. They just need him to be back. My assumption is it's an illness here. So, and if the knee is in fact good, then he's got to be back playing in one of this Friday or Saturday game.
Do you think it makes sense to sit him in back-to-backs for a little bit?
Yeah, you brought that up to me last night. I hadn't thought about it. Like, that's never been his thing.
Well, he's also never been hurt.
Yeah.
That's why, because I think it was Patrick Royce he put out today that, like, when... And he was doing so facetiously on Twitter.
No way.
Yeah, Patrick Royce, he was being facetious on Twitter. it was the first time ever. But that when Tibbs was his coach, Carl played in 209 of 209 possible games. So, of course, it's never been his MO because he's always been healthy. And that's something we've taken for granted with him and Andrew.
Do you think it's this front
office's
MO or this coaching staff's MO to rest guys on back-to-backs?
I think if they're coming off an injury, it makes sense no matter who the MO.
What about Covington, though?
But Covington's injury was as long ago as it was. I mean, you have to think that that surgery was done.
He also was not
100%. He was not where he needed to be. But I also think that Robert Covington is more precious cargo to them. Or Carl Anthony Towns is more precious cargo to them than Robert Covington.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that off of an injury, what now, 4 weeks ago, a month ago, a little over a month ago, makes more sense to say, okay, you can play Friday or Saturday, take your pick, but you're not playing the other one.
Yeah. No, I guess initially that.
I'm not saying forever. I'm saying until the month of February, sit him in back-to-backs. I don't know how many they have after Friday, Saturday.
Sure.
But I think until you know he's healthy and until I also would presume that there's a minute restriction at the start, until that's lifted, don't play him in back-to-backs.
What about this? How many games do the Wolves have until the deadline? Like 10?
I would have to go look.
Cat might need to make the All-Star team. Cat probably has to play in all 10 and needs to play well to make the All-Star team.
I'm curious if the All-Star team's out for him at this point because he's missed so many games.
Well, if it's the least bit there, he will be gunning for it.
Very true.
So I don't know. You counting it up right now?
He has 10 games left.
There you go.
Starting tomorrow, there are 10 games between when they play the Pacers tomorrow and they play the Jeff Teague revenge game on February 5th at Target Center. Then the then the trade deadline is the next day.
He's missed 15 now, right? Or he's missed 15.
Plus the two suspensions. So 17 of the Wolves' 40 games have been missed. That's almost half the season. I can't see him making the All-Star.
How many back-to-backs are in there? So he's already missed 17. We got this one back-to-back. So if we assume
there's a back-to-back, a home-home back-to-back against Houston OKC.
So there's two back-to-backs going forward. If he does sit out one of each of those games, that makes it 19 missed games for the season, which means or up to the
would be 19 of 50 games.
19 of 50 games, almost 40%. Pretty tough to be an All-Star.
I'm not putting him on the All-Star team for that, especially.
But what if it's 17?
I'm still not putting him on the All-Star team then.
It helps.
I think he's missed too much time, and it's not as if he's missed time on a good team.
I just don't think that's what his mentality is.
I agree with you, but I'm saying if I had a vote, I'm not putting Carl in the game.
Okay, but we're talking about back-to-backs here. And
yes, we are.
I mean, yeah. I hope he plays it off. I don't like.
Well, I mean, I want to watch Carl play basketball because he is good at basketball and head and shoulders the best player on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of reason to want to watch him, but I think that it's probably best for him in the franchise if he doesn't play in back to backs right now.
Well, yeah, then that probably costs him the All-Star team.
I don't even know if it matters at this point.
Yeah,
I think that the All-Star team might already be gone.
Right.
Like, he's a fringe guy as is.
Yeah.
And missing this many games, this percentage of games, hurts him.
Yeah.
Like, he was really, really good at the start of the season, but he's going to have missed 19 games.
Or 17, but yeah. Either way, 17 is a lot, too. Yeah. I don't know. I know that that's important to him.
Yeah. And I understand why it's important to him. I get it. It makes sense, but it's not something that I would vote him for at this point. Anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here?
Today's been kind of fun, you know?
Like it's been one of the more exciting days of the season.
Yeah.
Just because there was news and a trade and
I go back and forth with that sort of stuff because like I love trades. I love transactions. Like the offseason's one of my, you know, I think one of the most interesting things in how it shapes teams. I do struggle with sometimes that this is so much more important to people than the actual games are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess like what I'm excited for is I think more moves to come and be excited about that. But then also like to see what Allen Crabbe looks like, you know, and to see what new point guard X that they acquire looks like and what that comes together. Like it's been tough here. I mean, it's been a tough 6 weeks, you know, of time for Timberwolves fans, for us, you know, covering it, of like, what are we doing here? And I hope this like inspires some intrigue, you know, and just from making it more fun, you know, to like this today, our conversation is much more interesting because we're talking.
We had something new to talk about.
Yeah.
Otherwise, instead what would we Andrew about? Wiggins hasn't been good. Jarrett Culver's been better. Carl is still out. Like, yeah, we had something else to have a conversation about.
Right. And I think those are important conversations. I think we have a lot of figuring out what this offense looks like when Kat's back. I mean, we saw a blip of it at the beginning there, but particularly defensively.
Yeah.
Like, that is absolutely worth monitoring the second half of the season for Kat, because that should dictate how good Carl is defensively within the scheme. The second half of the year is a major factor determining what this team should do beyond the 2019-20 season.
All right, you said they're not done making moves. Tell me the next player gone, in your opinion.
Gone?
Next player traded.
Well, I mean, Noah Vonleh is a pretty obvious candidate. Which, I'll go the other side of it. I think he could help a team. Like,
I agree.
I think he would be, I don't know. I guess I'm more thinking about it from a what can the Wolves, you know, get side of it. And mm-hmm. and that will probably make it so somebody more expensive is ousted, other than Vonleh, who makes $2 million, whether that be, you know, Gorgui Dieng, Robert Covington. I mean, even Andrew Wiggins, like, those are
sure.
Those are really meaningful salaries, which would bring in a really meaningful, you know, type of player. But, you know, to the question, Jeff Teague was the obvious first choice there. I think now it becomes determined by the market. Jeff Teague was gone no matter what.
Yes, he was. His days in Minnesota were numbered for a while.
I think it ends up being, I'll say this, so it's like, the Wolves can go two sort of routes here if they're going to get a lead ball handler. They can get like a depressed asset guy on a rookie scale contract who doesn't really get an opportunity. The obvious name to put there is Dennis Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you're talking about sending out Noah Vonleh and another cheap contract to make salaries work.
Yeah.
If it is somebody who is a little bit older, like the, you know, a D'Angelo Russell, something like that, then we're talking about it being Covington, Wiggins, or Dieng as outgoing salaries. And then potentially, you know, Jarrett Culver is a player who could be moved, mm-hmm. just mathematically to making salaries, making assets work. So I don't know, man. I think all options are on the table outside of Carl Anthony Towns.
That's Dane Moore. You can find him on Twitter at DaneMooreNBA. You can find me on Twitter at RealDCunningham. Podcast can be found Spotify,
Crab,
Apple Podcasts. Alan Crabb is now a Timberwolf. Also, download the Score North app. Find that on Apple, Spotify, or Apple, Google Play Store, wherever you get your apps. It's there. Make sure you grab that, and we will talk to you next time.